St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians is the beginning book of the New Testament. I know that when you race home after this Mass and you open your Bibles, all of you, and you'll go to the New Testament and you'll see that the first book there is the Gospel of Matthew. Well, it's not in the chronological order. The first book in the New Testament is actually what you've just heard this morning, the opening lines, St. Paul writing to the people of Thessaloniki in northern Greece. When Paul established the churches there, he established many churches. The majority of them were established before Matthew even wrote his gospel. So when we look at the scriptures, we look at what was going on in that time and in that place and who the audience were and why is the language used the way that it is. And just very simply, for St. Paul, he was writing back to the people where he established the church, and he said to them, "You are the most wonderful people because I spoke to you, you listened, and you came to believe, and you still believe." So they came to the faith not by the written word, but by the word that was proclaimed by Paul, and they saw in the example of his life. So when it comes to Matthew's gospel, it is the written word that is there, not the spoken word. We get to have both in our day. So we look at Matthew's gospel, and it is fairly clear that there was something going on in the community about leadership in the early Matthean church, about the leadership in their church. By the time Matthew had written his gospel, the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. It was destroyed in 70 AD. And once the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they lost their power because they gained their power from exercising it in that place. Once that's gone, they have no place. They have no power anymore. And Jesus, in Matthew's gospel today, is referring to the misuse of power. So Paul's letter is an affirmation of the people who heard the word, observed how it was lived, and then believed and took that on. Matthew's message in today's gospel is there are people who hear the word, and there are people who read the word, and they turn that into an opportunity to exercise power. We must not do that. And Jesus is saying to that community at that time, you must not do that. The whole emphasis in that gospel is actually about humility. Now, that makes some people uncomfortable, but that's the bottom line in that gospel today. There are three parts to it as I look at it. The first is practice what you preach. That's why the church was so successful in Thessaloniki. Practice what you preach. If you're going to stand up and say and do these things and help to lead people and hopefully bring people to God, then be honest and authentic about it. You are not to be actors. And the Greek word for actor is hypocrite. You are to be authentic. Now that's to be said to leaders as well as those of us who might be what we would just call the ordinary folk. Be honest about the way that we profess our faith and we demonstrate and live our faith. The second thing is from the gospel is he says, when you look at the scriptures, the Pharisees looked at a very narrow interpretation of the scriptures. They looked at the letter of the law and they lived by the black and white letter of the law. When we look at the scriptures, remember how I started my homily this morning. Look at the time and the place and who is it being written for and what's going on. Look behind the word. Interpret the word in the signs of the times, in our times. It's an historical document, but how is it working in my time here and now, 2023 in Pierce? That's our task, our ongoing task. And when we do that, do it honestly and authentically. The Pharisees, Jesus refers to them today, they loved to parade themselves. And he talks about wearing longer, wider phylacteries. Now, a phylactery, if you look at any of the news items or you Google Jews at the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall, if you look at those, you'll see that the Jewish men are facing the wall, many of them, and they all move. Because in the books of Deuteronomy and Exodus, it says, keep moving as you pray. And so they do. They sit there like bobbleheads. And then you'll look at their arms. If they're a right-handed person, their left arm will have a phylactery on it. It's a thin leather strap that goes around the arm. Some of you may have seen it. And at the end of it, it has a little box. That whole thing is called a phylactery. And in that box is one of the 613 commandments of the Old Testament. So when the Old Testament in Deuteronomy says, you write my word and you put it on your wrists and you strap it to your head and you bring it to your heart, they literally do that. That's a very narrow interpretation. So these phylacteries, the Pharisees, they, rather than just wrapping it around, they put the box there, and the box with the commandment in it always faces the heart. Well, that's what it said in Deuteronomy to do. So they literally do it. And then he also said, bind it to your mind. Okay, so they've bound another one. You'll see them, and they've got the strap around the head with a little box on the top of their head. You will have seen that at times. And in that box, there are four commandments. That's a phylactery as well. And the full-on practicing Jew would be wearing the phylactery there and there. And the Pharisees, they made them ornate. They made them bigger. Mine stands out more than yours. To the point that some people would have laughed at them and said, look, you're just being silly now. You're exaggerating everything. It's such a narrow interpretation of the law and of the word. And Jesus despised that. He actually said, after the 613 commandments, he just said, there's two, love God and love your neighbour. All this business about strapping yourself up, that's really rather silly in one sense. But for the faithful Jew, fine. If that's what you need to do, fine. But the Pharisees made a show of it. And then he talked about the longer tassels. Well, the Jews wear this is for morning prayer only, the phylacteries and the tassels. So they wear a prayer shawl. And I've put one here in front of you on the lectern that I picked up in Jerusalem many years ago. And it talks about the tassels. You can see that on the corners there are four blue tassels, blue and white. Well, the Pharisees made their tassels that long that they would drag behind them like some moth-eaten cape, so that they stood out more than anything. And it was all about showmanship. On the talith, this is called, on this, this is a Jewish Christian prayer shawl. So on the corners of it, it has an inscription from the Old Testament, two, and on the other two corners it has two from the New Testament. And it's placed over to help bring a person into the sacred moment. But it's not an instrument of power or a demonstration of anything else. It's a tool, as I say, to bring us into that which is sacred. So the Pharisees made a real show of that because they took the law and they narrowed it right down. Jesus said, do not have this narrow interpretation of Scripture. And the third thing that he said after, don't be a hypocrite and don't narrow down the word of God, don't misinterpret it, let alone restrict it. He said, stop seeking public recognition. And the Pharisees loved all that. They loved to, we're told, to be addressed obsequiously in the market squares. And he uses the term father. He says, don't call anybody on earth father. Now, this is interesting because the Protestant churches after the Reformation accused the Catholic churches. They say, you go exactly against Scripture. It says, call no one father, yet you call your priests father. And I thank you for that. that's got nothing to do, the title Father has nothing to do with what Jesus is referring to. The title Father refers to, in Jesus' time, it was referred to the elders. So the elders in the community were called Father. Very much the same parallel as what our Indigenous brothers and sisters, how they refer to the elder women in the community. The men are usually called elders. The women are called auntie. Very much the same thing. So the elders in the Jewish community would have been called Father. But Jesus says, no, you have one Father. And if you look at the scripture, it's got a capital F, whereas the other times that Father is mentioned, it's a lowercase f. So you have one Father and he is in heaven. And we're going to address that Father in a moment as we pray the Lord's Prayer. And he says, don't call anybody rabbi. Now, in Jesus' day, the word rabbi simply meant Lord. So many people were called Lord in the marketplace, and the Pharisees would have loved it to be called rabbi. It's a term of public praise, in a sense. Yes, my Lord. Well, the understanding of rabbi as a cleric, which is how most of you would think of rabbis in the Jewish world today, that's very recent. That only came in about the last 200 years, primarily through American Judaism. But rabbi as a teacher, that didn't start till 300 years after Jesus died. Before then, rabbi was simply a reference to Lord. So don't call anybody Lord. You have one Lord. Rabbi is the term today. And then the third thing he says is don't call anybody else teacher. You have one teacher. And if you look at these, once again, it's got a capital T. You have one teacher, and he is the Christ. What they didn't or weren't aware of at that moment was that the Christ was right before them. They were in the very presence of God themselves. They got to see the face of God, but they did not realise it. So Jesus actually says through Matthew's Gospel, you have one teacher, you have one master, you have one Father. Everything else in your life you direct through and to what we would call Father, Son and Holy Spirit, to the glory of our God. Everything we say and do, do it honestly and direct it to God. In other words, exercise humility. Do not make yourself grander than what you are. Be a son and daughter of God together, and therefore brothers and sisters. And that's the exact language that's used in scriptures. So we become a faithful community like the people of Thessaloniki. Hopefully, because we not only listen and act, we read, and we read sensibly, and we act. But everything that we say and do to God, we do with humility.